Sutta Gauravaram Gauravaram Nava Pulpasaram Nava Pavadaram Nava Asyakaram Nava Asyakaram Nava Hemavaram Prana Amishati Sutta Gauravaram Nava Hemayutam Nava Nitashutam Nava Veshashritam Hari Nama Param Navadavila Satsutha Premamayam Pranamami Shati Sutta Gauravaram Hari Bhakti Param Hari Namadharam Karajatya Karam Hari Namaparam Nayani Satatam Pranaya Sitaram Pranamami Shachi Sutta Doravaram Tatatam Jannatha Bhavata Paharam Paramartha Parayanna Lokagatim Navaleha Karam Jaga Tapaharam Pranamami Shachi Sutta Gauravaram Bhavata Paramartha Parayanna Lokagatim Navaleha Agatapaharam prana mami shati sutta goravar Nija bhakti karam priya chaturatam Nata narta nagara raja kulam Pula kamini manasta lasya karam prana mami shati sutta goravaram Karatala Karatala Valam Tavaram Ritu Vajya Suvinaya Kamadhuram Nidabati Gunavritta Natyakaram Pranamami Shachi Sutta Gauravaram Yuga dharma yutam punananda sutam bharani suchitram bhava bhava chitam tam yutana chitam nijavasa yutam pranamami chati sutta goravaram Arunamnayanam Saranam Vastanam Vastanishalitam Swastanam Adaram Kurute Suratam Jagata Jivanam Pranamami Shachi Sutta Gauravaram Pranamami Shachi Sutta Gauravaram Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Goranita Jaya, Goranita Jaya, Goranita Jaya, Goranita Jaya, Paramahansa Parivrajacharya Ashtapada Shatta Sri Srimad His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Prem Sekho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shamasundar Go Gopikopinata Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Yug Dharma Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Nidai Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories. Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada.
Thank you this month for the Krishna.com, for the website.
Hare Krishna, devotees. It's so nice to be here. So nice to see all of you. Hare Krishna. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita is wonderful, and Srila Prabhupada's purport will be wonderful, and I'll ask for your blessing. If I get nervous, I know we'll make it through together. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jada to Chandra Dago to Pukta Vrinda. Jada Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nitya Ananda. Jada to Chandra Dago to Pukta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Alright, so we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is text 185. Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasanama.
Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasanama.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhana.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhana.
Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasanama. Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhana.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhana.
Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasa nama. Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhana.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhana. Shanta dasya sakha vatsala madhura rasa nama.
Shanta dasya sakya vatsala madhura rasa nama.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhana.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye pancha pradhana.
Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasa nama.
Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasa nama.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye pancha pradhana.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye pancha pradhana.
Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasa nama.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhan.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye e pancha pradhan. Dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasa nama.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye
e pancha pradhana. Shanta dasya sakya vatsalya madhura rasa nama.
Krishna bhakti rasa madhye pancha pradhana.
Okay, word for word. Sentence. Shanta.
Shanta.
Neutrality.
Neutrality.
Dasya.
Dasya.
Servitude.
Servitude.
Sakya.
Sakya.
Friendship.
Friendship.
Vatsalya.
Vatsalya.
Parental affection. Madhura rasa.
Madhura rasa.
Conjugal love.
Conjugal love.
Nama.
Nama.
Different names.
Different.
Krishna bhakti.
Krishna bhakti.
Of devotional service.
Devotional service.
To the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
To the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Rasa.
Rasa.
The mellows.
Mellows.
Madhye.
Among.
These
pancha
five
pradhana
chief. All right, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Hi, Prabhupada.
Translation. The chief transcendental mellows experienced with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are five. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and
Madhura.
Purport. Now this is interesting. In this edition of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's no purport, but here there's a purport. I'm going to read off the screen. Shanta Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3:1-4-6 as follows. Bhakshyamanair vibhavate samyam
satatam yata
stai shanti rati dhira
shanta bhakti rasa smita raya sa sukhatiyam sukham syavatra yoginam kintva na saukyam aganam vidhanapati shimayam sam tatra nisha sadrupa
When Shanta Rati, neutral attraction, exists continuously and is mixed with ecstatic emotion, and when the devotee relishes that neutral position, it is called Shanta Bhakti Rasa. Shanta Bhakti Rasa devotees generally relish the impersonal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since their taste of transcendental bliss is incomplete, it is called aghana, or not concentrated. A comparison is made between ordinary milk and concentrated milk. When the same devotee goes beyond the impersonal and tastes the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form as such Chidananda Vigraha, his transcendental, blissful body, complete in knowledge and eternity, the taste is called concentrated, ghana, transcendental bliss. Sometimes the devotees in Shantarasa relish transcendental bliss after meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is not comparable to the transcendental bliss relished by the devotees situated in Dasya Rasa, the transcendental mellow in which one renders service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dasya Rasa, or Dasya Bhakti Rasa, is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3:2-3:4 as follows.
Atma chitte vipadaye niyo sattaritam nita chitasi bhaktanam iti bhaktaya somata anukaya
When, according to his desires, the living entity develops love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this beginning stage of love is called Dasya Bhakti Rasa. Dasya Bhakti Rasa is divided into two categories called Sambrahma Dasya and Gaurava Dasya. In Sambrahma Dasya, the devotee renders respectful service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in the more advanced Gaurava Dasya, the devotee feels that he is receiving protection from the Lord. Sakya Bhakti Rasa is described as follows in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3:3:1. Sai bhavo
vibhavate sakyam matmachitaya nitaskite satam pushtim rasa prayam udiryate.
According to one's original consciousness, ecstatic emotions may be exhibited as continually existing in fraternity. When this stage of Krishna consciousness is mature, it is called prayo rasa or sakya bhakti rasa.
Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 341 as follows.
Vivavadestu Vatsalyam Sai Pustam Pagata Isha Vatsalyam Namatra Rotuna Bhakti Rasodhe.
When eternally existing love of Godhead transforms into parental love and is mixed with corresponding emotions, that stage of spiritual existence is described by learned devotees as Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa. And Madhura Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 351 as follows.
Atma Chitaya Vivavate Pushtim Nidasatam Vidhi Madhura Yo Bhave Bhakti Rasa Samadhari.
If, in accordance with one's own natural development in Krishna consciousness, one's attraction leans toward conjugal love within the heart, that is called attachment in conjugal love, or madhura rasa. The Prabhupada.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Tirtha Swamiti Namane Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Ashripatmane Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Swamiti Namane
Vancha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so today's topic is Bhakti Rasa. This is where it's at. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty in today's class, because if you think about it, Bhakti Rasa is the essence of everything, right? If you want to ask like deep questions in life, what's our purpose? Why do we exist? What's the meaning of life? What's the secret of happiness? A full answer is always going to come back to the subject of Bhakti Rasa, right? So, God, the Supreme Person, can be described in two basic ways. Rasa and what?
Tattva.
Tattva, good. So, if we want to talk about Tattva, can say, you know, he's the supreme controller, he's the one without a second, king of kings, lord of lords, he shall reign forever and ever, etc. So all kinds of different statements about the ontological position of God. Hare Krishna. So you'll find this kind of statement in our tradition and just about every other theistic tradition across the world as well. And such statements are certainly not unimportant, but they only show half of the story. The other half of the story is Bhakti Rasa. And so when we talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you could say that Tattva is the Supreme and Bhakti Rasa is the personality. And together those make Supreme Personality, and they give a complete, or a more complete description of the Godhead we can never describe completely. We can try for many, many years, but we'll never be complete. So, okay, forget about the Tattva for now, the Rasa, the juice. How do how do different kinds of devotees express their love for their love of God? And reciprocally, how does the Lord act in the presence of these different classes of devotees? How does he dress? What does he eat? What are his favorite things? And how specifically is love exchanged in each individual setting? So for the most part, we don't get the answers to these kinds of questions in the Abrahamic theistic traditions. You might see them in the very esoteric works of certain Catholic saints or Orthodox saints, Sufi saints, or certain Kabbalists. But it's obscure. It's certainly not the essence of those theological systems. When you study Vaishnavism seriously, at least when I was so fortunate to come to the Association of Devotees of Krishna, I felt like, wow, now I really know who God is. God is a person. For us Vaishnavas, that rasa is the juice of our theological system. A non-devotee might say the meat of the theological system, but we'll say the juice, the nectar, the rasa. So, in our sampradaya specifically, in Chaitanya Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that juice, that rasa is squeezed and relished to the fullest extent. For us, in our sampradaya, the Mahavakya of Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important verse, is which one? Who knows? Yes. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Ridayanti Yuge Yuge, the first canto, third chapter, text 28. Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. It's not just a statement of Krishna's position. He's the Swayam Bhagavan. He's the original. The fact that the Gaudiyas consider this, that we consider this our Mahavakya, most important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's revolutionary. Why? Because it acknowledges that the Vishnu and Narayan forms that are worshipped with awe and reverence and veneration are ultimately portions of the fullness and sweetness of Shamasunda in Vrindavan. So, in the words of Satyavrata Muni, to the devotees who are attracted to his majestic aspect of Narayan in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. And he says, may your form of Bala Gopal constantly appear in my mind. In Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, why does he go through this whole krama of different places? One is superior to the other. Mathura is superior to Vaikuntha. Vrindavan is superior to Mathura. The Govardhan Hill is superior to the 12 forests, and Radhakund stands supreme. What makes one place superior to another place? It's the bhakti rasa that's exchanged there. Vrindavan is where the nectar is flowing to the utmost extent, and Shamasundar is the Swayam Bhagavan. He's encompassing and containing all other forms of God. Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 64 qualities of God. And of these 64, the Vishnu and Narayan forms share in 60 of those qualities. But four of his most special, sweetest, most unique qualities, Shamsundar reserves for himself. So we should be so excited, so pumped to wake up every morning in new Ramanreti Dham and we have the chance to see Radha Shyamasundar, and we can exchange this bhakti rasa with the Lord and the devotees. Right? We should be psyched, we should be pumped. I used to be a brahmachari living in Gitanagari farm. Mother Kirtaniya remembers that. So my senior godbrother, Advaitacharya Prabhu, he would psych me up sometimes in the morning. Our Srila Gurudev, he would sleep only like a few hours every night. He was used to austerity, but more importantly, he was constantly engaged. He had no time for sleep, practically. So I was trying to be his secretary, and so I was up late at night, and I was getting up early in the morning, burning the candle on both ends, as they say. And, you know, at 4:30 in the morning, I was practically in a comatose state, somehow or other dragging my body into the Mangalarti. And my godbrother, Advaitacharya Prabhu, he would see me in this state, and he would say, "Hey, where's the juice, Bruce? Where's the nectar, Hector?" Like that. So I want you guys to get psyched and pumped up. I want you to repeat after me. And you don't have to say it soft. You can shout as loud and crazy as you want. There's not many of us here, so you don't have to be embarrassed. Okay, repeat after me. Where's the juice, Bruce?
Where's the juice, Bruce?
Where's the nectar, Hector?
Where's the
nectar? That was so pitiful. Come on. Where's the juice, Bruce?
Where's the juice, Bruce?
Where's the nectar, Hector? So, where is it? We should always be thinking like that. We're nectar collectors. We're meant to swim deep in the ocean of bhakti rasa like sharks. And so we should be psyched and pumped, thinking, where's the nectar? How can I get to it? Okay? So let's dive into this verse for today. So to put this verse in context, this verse was spoken by who? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was spoken to Srila Rupa Goswami, yes. And it was on their second meeting. So here's some trivia. Who can name three different places where the Lord met with Srila Rupa Goswami?
Prayag,
yes, that was this second meeting in Prayag at Dashashvamedha Ghat. In Puri, yes, there's the famous pastime where Lord Chaitanya would sing a verse that seemed like a mundane love song, but it was actually, he was revealing the ecstasy of Radha and Krishna, and only Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could understand that verse. But then when Rupa Goswami visited in Puri, he composed another verse that explained the meaning of the original verse, and somehow it ended up on a leaf on the roof of the hut, and somehow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw it, and he became ecstatic, and he gave all kinds of praise to Rupa Goswami. And so that was the third place. And where was the first place where they met?
Ramakeli,
yes. So I can't fool anyone here. Hare Krishna. So before that first meeting in Ramakeli, Rupa Goswami and his brothers, they were, you know, raised in a Vaishnava family. They always shone in terms of their character and their scholarship. And that was why they were handpicked to be forced into government service by the Nawab of Bengal. And in some ways that was a great honor, but it was also, as they say, an offer that you can't refuse. Then you can't leave, at least not without a lot of intrigue. And the Brahminical caste society, they rejected Rupa and Sanatan from that point on. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri, it was a little bit unusual that he decided to go by route of Bengal. It's not a direct route. So who knows why the Lord went through Bengal when he wanted to go to Vrindavan. Yes, Sanatan. Yeah, well, first of all, because he knew he wasn't going to Vrindavan yet, but yeah, he went to Bengal to meet Rupa and Sanatan and to get them out of that service. So after Rupa and Sanatan met with Lord Chaitanya at Ramakeli, they surrendered to him. They showed extreme, heartbreaking humility. And from that point on, they were actively thinking of some way that they could, you know, devise a trick to get out of the Noah's service. And Sanatan Goswami, he had a bit more difficulty. He got sick and he called out from work. Sorry, I can't come in today. But his plan was discovered and he ended up in prison. So when the Lord finally did make it to Vrindavan on his next attempt, on his way back, he stopped at Prayag. And it was just Rupa Goswami and his younger brother, Anupam, who met the Lord at Dashashwamedhghat. So during this meeting, Lord Chaitanya gave Rupa Goswami a condensed but fully complete course in the philosophy of Bhakti Rasa. At a university, you know, courses go on for a long time. 10 days is actually very short. You know, even some small niche topic, like recently I took a course on modern theories of Pleistocene archaeology in the southeastern United States. And you know, still,
it,
yeah, lots of mundane Rasa there. But even a course like that, it goes on for, you know, a full semester, 3 or 4 months. What to speak of Bhakti Rasa, it's not a niche topic at all. It's, like I said, it's the essence of everything. You can talk about it on and 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 on. But Lord Chaitanya summarized in 10 days, that's this conversation, and then when that was done, he sent Rupa Goswami on his life's mission to go to Vrindavan and what? Two things. Uncover the holy places where the Lord had his pastimes and that Bhakti Rasa was flowing, and to write books about Bhakti Rasa. So this conversation that we're studying now in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is so important. Rupa Goswami literally spent the rest of his life unpacking this conversation and expanding upon it. And of course, Rupa Goswami was highly successful in that endeavor. In the first chapter of this Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj lists some of the more prominent books written by Srila Rupa Goswami. But he says that you can't really count all the books that Rupa Goswami has written. Now, I work at a library. That's what I do for my job. And, you know, we have some authors who have dozens of titles in our collection, or some even close to 100. But Rupa Goswami has written so many books, no one can count them. That's completely unheard of in modern publishing. What an amazing devotee Rupa Goswami is, how amazing all of our Vrindavan Goswamis are. There's a verse earlier in this 19th chapter of the Madhya Lila that someone must have given class on recently about Rupa and Sanatan. And when I read it, it reminded me of a verse in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he originally gave the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, and it was passed down in the cyclic succession from king to king, but over the course of time, the succession is broken, and therefore the knowledge as it is appears to be lost. But he tells Arjuna, because you're my devotee, because you're my friend, I'm going to give this knowledge to you. I'm starting a new disciplic succession with you. So in text 119 of the 19th chapter of this Madhya Lila, it says, in course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. So, just like a new disciplic succession started with Arjuna, we're Rupanugas. We're in the disciplic succession following from Rupa Goswami. And just as the world hears Bhagavad Gita, gets that knowledge by studying the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, it's our responsibility as Rupanugas to let the world understand Bhakti Rasa by exposing them to the works of our Vrindavan Goswamis in an appropriate kind of, in like a needle, out like a plow kind of way, of course. So, and of all these uncountable books by Rupa Goswami and all of the Vrindavan Goswamis, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is very prominent. And as we've heard today in our purport, when Srila Prabhupada wants to elaborate on this particular verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita that lists the five rasas, the five devotional mellows, what book does he quote from heavily? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami. So, in Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we know, of course, is Nectar of Devotion, and he considered it one of his four most important books, along with the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, these instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to Rupa Goswami in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see how Rupa Goswami expanded that beautiful philosophy of Bhakti Rasa in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So to recap this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, what has the Lord summarized for Rupa Goswami? He summarized the qualities of the jiva living entities and how they have a distinct eternal identity. He rejects unqualified oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an identity for the jiva soul. The Lord summarizes the different occupations of the living entities, starting with animal life and human life, up to Vedic life with Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Bhakti is the superlative. He glorifies Bhakti in comparison with all of these other potential activities for the living entity. The Lord tells Rupa Goswami that when one gets that seed of devotion, then he should do what with it? He should cultivate it like a gardener and grow a creeper that's eventually going to go all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan and penetrate that spiritual realm and bear the fruit of love of Godhead. He summarizes how offenses and mundane creepers can stunt the growth of that Bhakti Lata, Bhakti creeper. And finally, what we're reading now, Lord Chaitanya defines and describes pure devotional service. So all of these topics are there in some form or another in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's what Rupa Goswami heard, and that's what he expanded upon. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, within the realm of Uttama Bhakti that's being described, Rupa Goswami talks about divisions, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, and it's within the discussion of prema bhakti that he tells us about how when these ratis that we heard described in the previous verse last week, Krishna Swarup Prabhu gave a beautiful class, when these ratis become fixed and constant and nourished by prema, then they become the different bhakti rasas that are the subject of today's verse. And today's verse says that there are five primary bhakti rasas, because of course there are seven others that are the subject of, those will be the subject of next week's Chaitanya Charitamrita class. But, like anger, wonder, fear, humor, these can come and go. But the Sai Bhava, that's the stable part of the devotional psychology. And those Sai Bhava Ratis, when they're fixed and they're nourished with prema, then they become these five bhakti rasas that are the subject of today's verse. So let's look at those bhakti rasas one at a time, starting with, what was the first one described? Shanta bhakti rasa. So, let's see. Shanta rasa has two basic qualities. Does anyone know what those two basic qualities of Shanta rasa are? You guys didn't know I was going to be quizzing you all day.
When the sloka says Krishna Nista Krishna Te, means firm fixed into the supremacy of Bhagavan, but impersonal concept, and detachment from the matter, all sense and genius.
Yes. So those are the two qualities of Shanta Rasa, fixed in the service, and detached from material, from devoid of material desires.
I have a question. Yeah. I think I'm fixed in service, but I didn't know.
Right. Yeah, not active service, but yeah, like Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying, fixed in admiration for a more impersonal kind of
They are also actually serving. In one sense, they are all serving. If you look at the song of Rupa Goswami Padas, the Adhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dvaita, then last line says, Sanaka Sanatana Bhornita Chaya. The four Kumaras, according to this chapter, in few weeks,
we'll
consider four Kumaras are also Santa Bhakta. In this chapter. But then Rupa Goswami is praying to four Kumaras. What they're praying for?
Because they glorify the Lord. That is their service.
Okay.
They glorify the Lord. They literally.
So that's not active service to glorify the Lord? That's one of like.
I don't know what is active or inactive, but they're glorifying the Lord all the time. To me it's active. But what is active, I don't know. You mean literally cooking and offering to the Lord?
Yeah, there's so many different kinds of services.
Yeah,
I know like in the third canto of Bhagavatam when he's talking about the Sanaka, the Chatursanas, the four Kumaras.
Yes.
Navajogendra.
Yeah.
And that was the big deal. Pushkar Prabhu gave class when? A couple of weeks back on that same chapter.
Okay.
He was thinking like that 11th canto is filled by the, spoken by the Navajogendra. They are very great personalities, but yet they are considered Santa Bhakta.
Mm.
So from one angle we can look at that way, But another angle, it's the foundation of Krishna Bhakti. Based on that firm determination, firm fix, firm understanding of Krishna Bhakti. Without that, I don't think any rasa can exist.
And also, didn't they undergo some kind of transformation when they were going to the Vaikuntha and then they smelled the tulsi leaves?
That's upgraded, you can say. Upgraded.
Okay. But so after that, they were still Shanta Bhakta, or they were?
The impersonalist. Yeah. If we say impersonalist, they may confuse us. Because Mayavadis are impersonalist, Brahmavadis are impersonalist, Shanta Bhakta are impersonalist. But Mayavadis are offender. Brahmavadis are not offender, but they are not devotee. But Shanta Bhakta impersonalist, but they are devotee. It's very, I hope, because I had this problem many years back.
Yeah, so of course the four Kumaras, they're never Mayavada. But no,
they're not Mayavada.
Yeah, but
they were Brahmavadis.
They were Brahmavadis, but then
they became devotee.
They
became devotee by
The tulsi leaves, sun, the lotus feet of the Lord. So
maybe you can say there is a one verse also in Madhulila, not this chapter, but a couple chapters later. Hanumanji express. Srinate Janaki Nate Paramastu Ubhayastu Paramatmane Tathapi Sarvasya Mama Ram Kamala Lochan. Srinate Janaki Nate. Janaki Nate means the husband of Janaki or Sita Devi's husband. And Srinate means, she means Lakshmi, and Nath means the husband. Paramat, they are all Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead has many names and their counterpart. But my Ram is my Ram. What he's trying to say, when that position developed, that a particular form of the Lord attraction, then that Dasharas began. And it culminates. Until that, not real attraction to a particular form of the Lord is Shanta.
So we're hearing so much about Shanta Rasa, but we're going to move on. There's even more waiting for us. So when those same qualities of Shanta Rasa are still there, firmly fixed in devotion and devoid of material desires, but active service is added, then we're talking about Dasya Rasa. Just like the element ether contains the sense quality of sound, and it transforms into the other elements, it transforms into air, when the tactile quality is added. So this is also the third canto Lord Kapila describes so scientifically. So yeah, it's a comparison. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I'm the sound in ether, I'm the ability in man, I'm the taste of water, I'm the fragrance of the earth. He declares himself the essence of all of these, and each one there's another sense quality expanding. So in Dasya Ras, one lives for the opportunity to actively serve the Lord, to be helpful to the divine couple, even if some awe and reverence are there. Okay, so now I want all of you to imagine for a moment, you're sitting in the temple, I'm up here, blah, 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 yada, 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 giving the class, and suddenly you notice there's a big hunk of broccoli stuck between my teeth, and I'm just up here giving the class. How many of you are going to say, hold on, Jishnu Prabhu, there's some broccoli in your teeth? Who's going to do that? How many of you are just going to let me keep going and just let the broccoli keep on flapping around?
Yeah.
So if you're afraid to speak to me about that, imagine the Supreme Lord, who's actually deserving of your awe and reverence. And yet, The cowherd boys, Krishna's most intimate friends, Srila Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Devotion that sometimes when Krishna is talking about some topics with the gopis or having an argument, sometimes one of the cowherd boys will notice that Krishna's peacock feather is not completely straight. It's leaning to the side a little bit. And say, oh, hold on, Krishna. And yeah, straighten him up and make sure that Krishna is looking very paka. So this is the Sakya Rasa. This is fraternity. This is friendship. And that intimacy is there, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. Okay. So now I want you all to imagine this. I have to go to the restroom and I give Prasita Prabhu my wallet. And I say, hold this for me while I'm gone. And, you know, it has all of my credit cards, it has my driver's license in there. But as soon as I leave, a big raccoon comes into the temple. And it's like, and it grabs the wallet and it leaves. Seems like a crazy scenario, right? But it's not that crazy. I look at all of the different demons that Kamsa sent to Vrindavan, all kinds of different animals that are fierce. And, you know, the grown-up cowherd people, Krishna's parents and their contemporaries, what were they thinking? They were thinking, this is my fault. I was responsible for Krishna, who's much more valuable than a wallet with some credit cards. And, you know, he was my responsibility, and now he's out riding on a tornado, or now he's, you know, in the coils of a serpent down in the Yamuna. When Krishna was in the Yamuna fighting with Kaliya, Nanda Maharaj, he wanted to enter the Yamuna himself. He wanted to go in there. Balaram had to stop him. And, you know, when Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill, what did the cowherd man do? They put their sticks and helped Krishna. It didn't matter to them at all whether they could do it or not. That you know, maybe they could do it, maybe they couldn't. That it was all about, it's my responsibility to help see that Krishna's endeavor is successful. So that's the parenthood, that's the Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa. And my wife's Srila Gurudev, His Holiness Sri Krishna Maharaj, he married us. And he said there in that, in the talk he gave at our wedding, Krishna conscious marriage is for raising Krishna conscious children. And if the devotees, for some reason or other, can't have children, then you make Krishna your child. And, you know, my wife and I, we heard that, and for some time when our marriage started, we thought that we could not have children. And, you know, we have our deities at home, Radha Giridhari, Tulsi Shalagram, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, Gauranitai, and we always would call them our babies. And to this day, we call them our babies. So, obviously that rasa is not fully developed in me, but it's a nice kind of mood. And finally, there's the madhura bhakti rasa, the conjugal mellow. So in the gopi's love for Krishna, all conception of what's proper and improper can completely take a back seat to their pure love. They leave their homes in the middle of the night to be with Krishna. Completely forbidden. And when they arrive, Krishna pulls the rug out from under them and he says, "What are you doing here? Go back home." They serve him with all their hearts and he says, "I can't reciprocate. Let your glorious deeds be their own rewards. So I can only appreciate the love of the gopis in the sense that I can't wrap my head around it at all. So I know that they must be much more advanced than anything I can imagine to be able to appreciate that madhura rasa. So these are the five bhakti rasas, and we want to access this by following the devotional program that Srila Prabhupada has given us for this ISKCON society. So what can potentially block us from experiencing that bhakti rasa?
Offenses.
I hear a lot of people saying offenses.
Faulty,
yeah. So what does that look like when we're suffering from offenses? It can, it could be. It could take a form like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, like leprosy and worms ravaging our bodies. But in most cases, it's not that extreme. That doesn't mean that it's not a serious situation that we still have to deal with. A lot of times the effects of aparad might look like us just hanging around, doing what we do, and not experiencing the bhakti rasa, not getting a taste from our chanting. And gradually, our faith in the devotional process is decreasing rather than increasing. We may not lose our belief in the tenets of Krishna consciousness, the sambandha jnana, but instead losing the conviction in that belief. So what I want to ask, a request for all the grihastha devotees who have young kids like me, it's a time in our life where maybe we're not able to do large quantities of active service. I mean, some are superstars and they do, but at least we can show our conviction and always be developing our conviction in the process of Krishna consciousness. So I want to just end by sharing a story from my life about the importance of conviction. So before I was born, my parents were both raised in Christian tradition. My mother was raised in the Catholic Church and my father in a mainline Protestant denomination. But before I was born, they both, rejected those congregations. And my father, he became a committed atheist. So as I was a boy growing up, I never prayed to God. I never, saw the inside of a place of worship. My father taught me, there's no evidence for God's existence, and therefore to believe in him would be irrational, not supported by rational logic. So that was how I was living, and I was probably 10 or 11 when this happened. My mother's family, they're a very, on her father's side, it's a large Cape Verdean family who are devout Catholics. But I would only see them once a year on Thanksgiving. So I'm 10 or 11 years old and, we're all sitting down, the table is set out, whatever. And my Aunt Mary, she's the matriarch of this big Catholic family, of course she wants to pray. She wants to bless the food and everyone in a prayer position. And I'm like, wait a minute. there's no evidence that God exists, so why should we profess a belief that's irrational? And everybody looks up from their prayer positions, and you know, you can hear a pin drop at that moment. And my Aunt Mary, she looks to my mom like, you know, what are you going to do with your rascal child? And, you know, my mom looks to my dad, and my dad looks to me. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to get some support, because my dad, he's the one who taught me everything I just said. But my dad, he said, John, that was my name, John, what are you doing? You can't say that. And, you know, I felt betrayed. And at that moment, I realized that my father had a belief, but he did not have the conviction behind that belief, or at least not the kind of conviction I was looking for at that moment. So, you know, from that point on, 10 or 11, my life as an atheist was done. I'd looked from atheism. I didn't make a very good atheist. And then a few years later, I went to Trinidad. My father had some close friends there, and that was where I first saw a wonderful Krishna. And then a few years later, when I was 16, I started reading Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita. And the next year, when I was 17, I met the ISKCON devotees, and then I had a real place to put my conviction. And a couple years later, when I was 19, I met my Srila Gurudev, and you know, then I had a real prime example of conviction and devotion and Krishna consciousness. And 3 years after that, when I was 22, I got first and second initiation, and I was able to, you know, by the mercy of Guru and the devotees, connect with the parampara. 4 years after that, when I was 26 years old, I lost the physical bapu of my Gurudev and learned to serve in separation. And a few years after that, I became a husband, became a father, and learned to some extent to put my own ego out of the center. And when I was 35 years old, I moved to this community, and now I'm 42. So certainly along the way, I've made so many missteps and misdeeds, and but I choose to look at my life as an opportunity to increase my conviction in this process of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has given to us. So, you know, small things where sometimes I wear tilak to work. You can go on Harinam, you can dance like a crazy man in kirtan, so much. And, you know, when you do that, then when you show your conviction, then your conviction may be questioned. If I wear tilak to work, someone may say, Jishnu, I think you have some dirt on your forehead. Maybe you should check yourself. But that, you know, that's an opportunity for me to say, oh, this is called tilak. It's sacred clay. Hare Krishna, people like me wear that. And, you know, it shows that the body is the temple of God. And so when that conviction is questioned, then we defend it, and then the conviction grows. So Hare Krishna, make sure your conviction is always growing and showing, and the nectar is always flowing. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Thank you for the nice class.
Nice class.
I've left you all speechless. Thank you.
We all pumped up.
Thank you for allowing me to display my ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
If you want.
Hey, thanks. That was a nice class. Where were you born?
In Boston.
Not every day, just as much as possible.
Yeah.